Australian Bible Church, January the 20th, 2013. A Presbyterian church following the Bible without qualification, and the Lord Jesus Christ without compromise by faith. A continuing Presbyterian church. Three confrontations, the three griefs, and the one triumph. Three confrontations and three griefs and one triumph. First of all, the confrontation, Christ and the devil. We're familiar with that in Matthew 4, the temptations. Today we look rather at Revelation 12. It's a confrontation between the plan of the devil and the plan of God, and Christ is in the center and the crux. We see in Revelation 12 that the devil was hungry. He was waiting to devour the Christ child as he came forth from Israel. Israel, of course, intended by the 12 stars, just as Rome was always known as the city of seven hills, there's no possible question. And so forth from Israel, as proclaimed, as promised, came the Christ child, and forth from his deadly and condemned lair came the devil to confuse, to confound, to gobble up and dispatch, just as so many nations are doing with his followers today. Revelation 5 shows us the deity status of this child. And oh, what a song, what a blessing and a glory is found in Revelation 5 as it attests. You are worthy to take the scroll. This is the scroll of coming history, which will be fulfilling prophecy. No one could open it but the Lamb could. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. He's the one that gives them that position. And again, worthy is the Lamb, 5:12, who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor and glory. The Lord will not share his glory with another. And glory and blessing. And again, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Conjunct. One. Triune. Magnificent. Then we read that the babe is caught up to heaven. The devil is frustrated. It's quite amazing that we find of this babe the indications of power. Verse 5 of chapter 12 of Revelation. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations. So this delicate, vulnerable piece of humanity come from God, the incarnate uniqueness. This child about to be devoured, not only is not devoured, but he is spoken of even in this context, this vulnerable looking context, as the one who is to rule all nations. That is surprising, but this is staggering. With a rod of iron. The movement from babe to iron is so sudden, so abrupt. And the child was caught up to heaven, to God and his throne, where he belonged. The rod of iron suggests Psalm 2. Let's look at it. There it's more expounded. Why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah, saying, let us break their cords in pieces and cast away their... break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Snap what binds and shut it out. Become morally ruthless like the present generation increasingly. Down with morals. Up with society. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath. Distress them in his deep displeasure, for I have set my king. You can do what you like. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. In the end of the matter, Christ comes to reign. You see it in Revelation, condensed. There's the baby, there's the rod of iron, one to the other. We're seeing a fast forward. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you, as Paul points out, from the dead. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. The punishment was perhaps asphalt in the case of Sodom. The punishment for imperviously impenitent nations is a rod of iron, a government which they cannot breach. They've been doing it for millennia, but they cannot reach. They can only be breached now. Be wise, you judges. Kiss the son, lest he be angry. That is, show your religious devotion to him, lest he be angry, and you perish. That was said in Psalm 2. The vulnerability part was shown in the beginning of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, particularly Luke. And what is to come will show the rest. So we had the babe assault to King Herod, as we know from Matthew. Then the body assault from official Israel. And then caught up into heaven, we read in Revelation 12. To God and his throne. There's program A brought to the program. Well, about why? Because there are events to follow after the nations are broken, such as the departure of the heaven and the earth and a new one. What then? God suffers for man, then man in masses elects to find his God and Maker insufferable. I will not tolerate. Australia is beginning to say it to its current government. It doesn't matter which government it is, the current one's doing the religious part, therefore it must be talked of. Or whether anybody else does the same or will is a question, but this one is actually doing it, therefore must be mentioned. The morals of God are insufferable. It's feelings! It's taking offense that matters. It's asking people, do you think that his feelings were justifiably hurt here? If so, here's the new morals. Men will determine whether feelings were justifiably hurt in your pay, if in the opinions of men they were. There is a little squeeze out for religion. Yes, but why did you keep precisely to what you've written down there and can justify it from there? We'll give you an exemption. So religion is by mandate. Religion is by exemption from the real moral law invented by Parliament. Who could vote for such a thing and remain unmixed with this horrific passion? Man in place of God. Now, it's one thing not to believe in God. It's another thing to make one of your own and to force it onto the nation. Speaking of feelings as though this justifies the invention of a religion contrary to the Constitution 116, and without even the referendum, which they were good enough to have when the Bill of Rights was in view, this being a new Bill of Wrongs, though not so called. Yes, they've found God insufferable many times, but this is becoming an international phenomenon. We're just becoming nearer and nearer to the leader through legislation of this revolt. In the end, when God has manifested, as in Psalm 72, Isaiah 59 and 66, Isaiah 11, Revelation 19, when God has manifested his power and rule and glory upon the earth, then off it goes, like a skyscraper to be rebuilt. A new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells is what Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3. The birth of Christ, the devil failed to prevent that birth going on to a manhood. When the time was ripe for the sacrificial substitution for sinful men who believe, the devil failed in his futile effort through Herod and Judas to ruin the Christ. He was arrested and made a criminal. I mean, they do that in China, they do that in USSR. I mean, they've done it in these places over and over and over again, and not only there, they did it in Europe for centuries. In the name of Christ, if you will. Doesn't John 16:2 tell us the day will come when people will put you to death in thinking they are doing God a service? Is not Islam precisely that? Has it not invented a Christ without eyes being looked upon the actual one, supplanting the actual biographic references of those who knew and found and used the power of Christ with a new Christ of his own making, not deity, not substitutionary atonement, not born of a virgin, none of it, making up a Christ to put him under Muhammad, who was to be nearer to God, so that they might follow, as Christ predicted, a false prophet. All these things are coming upon the earth, but Islam is not the only one. The secular sovereign who is spiritually inclined is the other one. And then, of course, you've got the various other ones, such as Buddhism, which tends towards plain atheism, and Hinduism, which has a medley of gods and principles and ideas which end up without direct divine specifics, but rather accounts of various movements of various God sorts of things. The devil failed because Christ did the sacrifice, breached death, broke it, and showed the power of God to those who are willing to receive him. The devil failed to do anything but to come to earth in due course, being angry because he knows his time is short before his unbelievable lie is judged finally. Christ and the devil, Christ and the treacherous church of the day, Mark 14, 54 to 65. Peter followed at a distance. The chief priests tried to find somebody to be a witness against Christ. But fraud doesn't work. That's true in evolution. It's true in all the Big Bang nonsenses, which invent all that it has to be and compress it as if it hasn't just taken it for granted. False witness that didn't agree. It didn't agree with the facts, it never does. People who prefer function would do better to keep the fairy stories. Trying to bring a fairy story on the earth is deadly for all concerned who are willing to consider it. We heard him say, I'll destroy the temple made with hands, and within 3 days I'll build another made without hands. But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest says, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? This is religion talking. But he kept the silence and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. Ego eimi, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power. Religion is a religion, Christianity is a religion of power. Not raw power, but power with purpose and love backward and pity in the midst of it and resurrection at the end of it. But it is power. It is not power to secure comfort, a high standard of living, or some sort of formalistic, ritualistic, self-satisfying substitute. It is religion of power to get done what has to be done to manifest the love of God, to proclaim the peace of God, to show the mode of it, to exhibit the power of it, until people, having been confronted for generations, are finally allocatable to their stations, as in a war, prisoners here, soldiers there, through judgment or through blessing from the power of God. Then the high priest tore his clothes. What further need do we have? Deserves death. That's the way of the world right now. Then it was a national phenomenon, now international. how many thousands and millions of Christians have been killed in the past 200 or 300 years. Deserving of death, deserving of death. Burn their churches, India. Subvert them, Egypt. Attack them, Sudan. Christ in a treacherous church of the day. Herod, step one. Judas, step two. Self-preserving pseudo-religion on the part of Caiaphas and his Sanhedrin, step three. Death to Herod. Betrayer through Judas. And treachery through the church. Then as now many in religious high places, many find compromise. One of the words is concordat, whereby what claims to be a church makes agreements with secular authority. How they will cooperate as they did the Sanhedrin and Rome. The Roman Empire of that day. Here was the proto-church, the church in the wilderness, before the fully Christian church arrived, giving a lead to the quasi-church, the seeming church of the New Testament, that is to say, that which is far from the body of Christ, which will be kept by the power of God, but a wicked and gleeful substitute in the form of an ecclesiastical idol. You read of that in 2 Peter 2, they will come from your own midst, those who will bring up damnable heresies. Thus this quasi-church, this non-church substitute, calling itself the church, crucifies, crushes, corrupts, invests, like a virus, gets into the control and uses the power of what would have been a church, but which is fallen, to manufacture more surreptitious or open betrayal in the name of Christ. You see, the duo in Revelation 13. There's the first beast, the state. There's the second beast, specifically religious, specifically deceptive, and specifically corrupt. He has two horns like a lamb. But what comes out of his mouth is not bah. He speaks like a devil. The lamb devil. Satan seems to love substitutes, subtle substitutes to deceive the pseudo-spiritual. Even the elect, if it were possible, which by the power and grace of God it does not. And we give thanks that it is God alone who protects us from deception. But he does it very well. We trust him. What happened to this fallen proto-church, this hierarchy of Judaism? Well, of course, the Jerusalem was destroyed in about a generation. That's what happened. And of course, they had 1900 years wandering around. That's what happened. I mean, you can say it's profitable. Yeah. For what? For what? Lies don't work. God does. You read in Revelation 16, coming to the New Covenant time, of a false prophet. I have no doubt there will be such a being. Lots of people are contenders to take his place, particularly anyone who deals politically in the Middle East. Might be a very possible false prophet. There's a lot of profit in being a prophet if you're false. But the ecclesiastical beast, the civil beast, the false prophet all meet ruin. You can't light a fire in your own heart without being burnt. And the false fire, such as we saw illustrated in the Old Testament in the context of worship, Nadab and Abihu, the false fire also burns the heart and makes the conscience irremediable in the end. a new Christ is to be made. A contemporary version of convenience, far from the figure of Isaiah 52-53. The quasi-church acts to reform the biblical Christ, deforming it into a plastic pollution, using his name, making up the contents. So there are three avenues of attack. As the false and fraudulent church, with or without state help, seeks to destroy Christianity. One, attack the Bible, rewrite it, and try to disparage parts of it. That's all done. Liberalism got nowhere. Two, make a contemporary version of the Christ. Surrealistic spirituality. Invent one to meet your needs. Use the title in order to get approval, change the center in order to do what you want. This is deception. This is fraud. Is that what these man-made morals produce? Thus they mislead, just as Peter foretold them. What's the third of attack? The first, a misedited Bible, not according to the text. The second, a conveniently altered Christ, not according to history. And the third, Christians killed, wounded, or their reputations attacked by endless slanders, gobbledygook gossip, but not one single sentence of support. They tried it on Christ. What will they do to his disciples then? The servant is not greater than his master. If they've done it to me, they'll do it to you, was the message of Christ. Christians become the third target. To subvert them, or to slander them, or to slaughter them, in any case, to make them dysfunctional. If you're a Christian and you hear this today or any day, remember, if they get you, you'll be dysfunctional. Salt without savour, what's it worth? Worthy, says Christ, to be trodden under foot. Civilizations have suffered too. The USA and Britain, both once strong in Christian testimony, now strongly in debt, both to a strong national move towards Christianity, from which they've turned, but they're in debt to that past, for it was their beginning, on Britain. But we can't just look elsewhere. The Church of England, what does it believe? They even had a special meeting in Jerusalem instead of in England because of the obvious departures from basic doctrines. But we can't ignore the fact that Australia is getting into the act. Point three, Christ and the culture conniving nations. As in John 18:13. And then they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest. It was Caiaphas who advised that Jesus, it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Why? Because otherwise a deceived Caesar might imagine there was a regal challenge in Christ and so invade Palestine. So to save their necks, they'd kill the Christ who did only good and whom they couldn't even successfully slander publicly. Internationally, then, let's look at Christ in confrontation with the culture conniving nations. Revelation 13 shows us the two beasts, and it shows us the control modes in money and elsewhere. What's on the way to it? Well, there are nations in direct hostility to Christ. They can't depart bag and baggage from this nation, was one of the earlier calls of the USSR. I didn't see him in the regions beyond, in space, as an astronaut. No. You wouldn't see me in one of my books either. How idiotically infantile can you become in these matters? Why? Because they will not tolerate God. That's why. They want to make their own God, forgetting that their God made them. So you get places such as USSR, in its day, China, Pakistan, Iran, open confrontation with Christ. Then you get suppression of the witness to Christ. Notoriously in Saudi Arabia, even when the Americans were helping them in the days of the Kuwait invasion. In Iraq, open suppression. In the Caspian Islamic hegemonies, Azerbaijan and Georgia, a whole lot of little nations around about that area. With Iran stealing the limelight. But there are others, more clandestinely, working in much the same manner, trying at times to appear ambivalent on either one thing and or the other. We find examples in Australia. I've said enough about the religious aspect. Let's just take a look at the international aspect. Just recently, a foreign minister by the name of Carr, an ex-premier, apparently exerted pressure on the Prime Minister to make sure that Australia did not vote in such a way as to appear at all favourable to Israel. That's not enough. Australia now gets a seat on the Security Council, temporary, sure. And what does it do then? The new movement is Australia must make it clear to Obama. Sounds like a Scottish terrier talking to an elephant, never mind. Australia must make it clear to Obama that Israel must stop building. Of course, Secretary of State Clinton made some orders to that effect to this apparently free country. Stop building on those West Bank properties, Judea and Samaria. Stop daring to take the United Nations at its word when it gave the whole of Palestine, which included Jordan, much to the Jews. Don't build on a central location within Palestine, which was most appropriate. Don't build there, says Carr. And form an independent Palestinian state. Be quick. Get it over with. Get what over with? As the election gets near in Israel, the two right-wing parties, called right-wing, shall we say preservation parties, are each moving vigorously. Netanyahu is causing many more houses to be built. They're even going for the land between part of Jerusalem and elsewhere that they might make it clear that Jerusalem is their internal capital, as they said in 1980. And how could it be a homeland to the Jews if Jerusalem wasn't their capital? And that was a gift of the international community after World War I. No, says Carr, do it. Says Israel, or part of it. We gave them Gaza. And they use it to exterminate us. You now want us to give them something else? And so our tiny, teeny-weeniness needed more bombardment for more bombastic attacks of people who say we must die. You want us to communicate and commune with those who say we must be destroyed? Are you out of your mind? Are you worse than Chamberlain ever thought to be? Are you trying to make the Alsatians grasping for your throat to get a stimulus by an injection in the rump? Yes, the effort is to do just these things. What then doesn't matter? How would you like to give more territory to those who bombastically and aerodynamically bombard you, blight your children, destroy them, consider it a great way of getting access to virgins in some illusory heaven? You may say, well, this is pretty drastic, isn't it? Well, yes. But you've been calling it ambivalent or something more surreptitious.
Yes.
How? Well, they don't paint it in those colours. To say, look at the Palestinians, they're having a tough trot. Ignore about the tough trots of Israel. Ignore all the history and all the past. These people have a tough trot. Give them whatever they want. Get on with it. Get the oil and forget the whole trouble. That's like forgetting cancer of the lung by having a course in smoking. Australia, yes, but alas, the USA, much the same. One of the journalists, supposedly very close to Obama, has given forth the message that in Obama's view, Israel doesn't know, or Netanyahu in particular, doesn't know what's good for Israel. If he loses his one remaining friend in Israel equals USA, in their opinion, they will perish. That was often the position with Israel in the past. They would perish unless they capitulated to Assyria, but God intervened. The trouble with all secular people is they leave out the main thing. It's as though a millionaire had a tent and a million in cash. You forgot about the million in cash and said how terrible this little tent is. It is willful ignorance. I am ashamed that my country is involved in such disastrous departure from reliance on Almighty God, as was attested in the preamble to its constitution. We're not talking law, we're talking facts. This was the attitude. Lawyers can do what they will. History has spoken. Well, we see in Revelation 12, 15 to 17, the devil spews out a whole lot of water to engulf and to delete the people whom he hates, that is to say, presumably, particularly the godly members of Israel who were a remnant, who adhered despite the official presence of the government. We must make it clear, with all these nations such as USA and Australia, there's a big division between what the politicians are saying and what the people think. That may be because some people haven't thought it through, because others have been subverted, and then again because others haven't learned how to speak or found a place to do the speaking, particularly when someone's hurt feelings might put them into a law court. That's where courage is required. So the earth swallows up that, and the devil goes to get after the rest of those who follow the commandments of Christ, which implies the first lot were also following. You can't be the rest of a body which is different. So that means that this was indeed the Jews, the believing Jews, and then the believing Gentiles, and the devil spewing, but the earth swallows up because God is able to keep. Psalm 60, verse 4 is worth a look. Psalm 60, verse 4, indicating a course of action in the midst of such things as this. They have often afflicted Israel in the past. They're now afflicting the whole world in the present. If you belong to this world, well, it's time to think and act and have faith and rely on God who made you, not making a God who didn't make you, so that you may worship it, as is customary now. Psalm 60. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Therefore, the Christians, whatever the cost, as before, as always, attest truthfully from the heart and with the knowledge of experience and reason combined, through the power of the Holy Spirit, according to what was promised from Christ, it will be given to you what you shall say in that hour when you're brought up. The Christians proceed. There is no other rock, and this one doesn't rock. It just stays put. And he who believes in him shall not make haste. You remember? Shall not be dithering and quivering. Shall stand firm. Babylon, Tyre, and Nineveh were all condemned for their invasive gusto, their irreligious shock treatment. Warning enough has been given through them and many others, not to mention Jerusalem, to which in the end God has plotted to return and to deliver. But there was a long way to that end. The finale is shown in Revelation 19, When the Word of God, who is faithful and true, the Messiah himself comes and desolates the dynamically devilish, and judgment proceeds. It is found in Psalm 2, in Psalm 110, in Isaiah 59, in Micah 5 and 7, in Isaiah 2. It's there. And finally, one triumph. I think we'll leave the one triumph to condense and bring together all these aspects in the triumphant end of this extensive laboratory exhibit for history to show the way of God, the power of God, the way of the wilderness, and the horror of it in full, for eternity. Christianity is a religion of fact and act, as well as faith and reason and truth. It all coheres in the incoherent babble of those who, having no power to show ever anything to the contrary, still go on showing it because their hearts are captured by one who is the opposite of God. The dynamic of evil who deceives the nations, as Revelation says. For deliverance from their captivity we seek. We love those who oppose us. We seek their deliverance as a doctor, your deliverance from influenza or cancer. If you want to blame us for having your wealth at heart, so be it. The truth does not alter. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for the truth which is in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the peace which is in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the love shown through Christ Jesus. We thank you for the power exhibited in many masterful miracles and in the resurrection. We thank thee for control of history through the predictions of the all-knowing God. We thank you for the end of history, when at last in a new heaven and earth in which dwells righteousness, those who love thee freely will freely continue to love thee. Those who love the truth will continue freely to love the truth. We all will be blessed. The Spirit of God, like a great stream, bringing a loveliness to quench any desire to meet any need. So we thank thee, Father, for the center of it all, Jesus Christ, for the sender, the Father, for the Spirit who applies it, in Jesus' name.